Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo. The Bills make me wanna
shout. Hour number two rolls along here on a Wednesday. Bills are back from the bye. They'll be practicing in a little bit. We'll hear from the coaches with some players as well. That music, of course, does signal Sal Capaccio joins the show next. But before we get to Sal, do want to let you know to enter at WGR550.com for a chance to win a free home heating system courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Whether your home needs a furnace, boiler, a ductless heat pump, T-Mark has got you covered. The last day to enter is October 26th, of course, 2025. Now, to the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How was your bye week?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Got to watch some college football last weekend when the Bills were off, when Saturday to Syracuse for the Syracuse Pitt game. Didn't go Syracuse's way, but it was nice to get back on campus, homecoming, and take the fam up there and enjoy that, and then watch some football on Sunday. Had some other things going on as well. So now it's back to the grind, back to work, and now it's routine pretty much from here on out to the end of the season, guys. And you know, hopefully that goes into February, obviously, for Bills fans. But from now on, it's really only Sunday games for the Bills, except for one Thursday night game the week before Thanksgiving at Houston. Otherwise, it's pretty much Sunday, and a lot of 1 o'clocks now mixed in with 425s as well, kind of half, I guess.
Yeah, Sal, we all talk about the schedule a lot, but now that it's behind us, I was almost in some ways not prepared for how front-loaded their primetime schedule was. And so when the bye did hit, I was like, I don't love the early bye, but man, I think we all kind of needed it. The team maybe as well.
I think so, too, from a health standpoint more than anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's something to be said, I think, too, for what you just said, which is, Zach, like when you have all these primetime games and all these alterations of your schedule, and all of a sudden you can kind of step back and reset, and then, okay, going forward, it's pretty much routine every week, except that 1 week, like I said, but it's Sunday games, and we know what Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday look like leading up every week, and you can kind of get on a schedule. I don't know. I just think, I know in most of my life, for sure, like when I'm a little bit more on a schedule and routine, and I know what to expect, just makes things a little bit more efficient. And I think that, you know, football coaches and players are creatures of habit a lot of times in this regard, so that can help as well. But I think more than anything, it's from a health standpoint, right? The Bills had a game in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, didn't go their way, but they were without Dalton Kincaid. They were without Matt Milano. They were without Curtis Samuel. They lose Josh Palmer during the game. They lose Daquan Jones right before the game. They have Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop both banged up during the game. I mean, these are guys that, you know, are going to be monitored this week to see where they are, but now you have 2 weeks, hopefully, from that game to the next game to get some guys back.
Sal, when it comes to the injuries, you mentioned Dalton Kincaid on there. Yes, I feel like I've had fun talking with you about this. Kincaid, health dependent on this. If he's a full participant in practice, then I guess we can go full bore on this idea. But I've liked talking to you about how Kincaid's production with the balance between how many snaps he's getting. I am curious, based on how the Bills struggled without him in Atlanta, if he's healthy, how much do you think the Bills could push that envelope of like giving him a couple more snaps because of how effective he is and trying to play a little bit more of a balancing act with probably their best receiving threat this season?
I think we've talked about this before, guys. I mean, like, it's great. If you want to put Dalton Kincaid on the field a lot, that's great. But, you know, he's efficient what he does. But I would argue that partly why he's so efficient is because you're not overworking him. You're not putting him on the field. You know, he's had some injuries as well. The more he's on the field, the more snaps he's going to take. It's not like every time he's on the field, you're just throwing him the ball down the field and he's catching it, right? He's got to block. He's got to do a lot of things. So,
right. Sure.
I mean, you could look at that. Well, what worked for the Bills early in the season? A lot of 13 personnel. Jackson Hawes and, you know, and Dawson Knox on the field as well. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I think every game is going to be different, though, to be honest with you. Like, it might require more snaps from Dalton Kincaid this game and less snaps the next game. So I think every game is just different. It's personnel usage. The more that he can be involved in the passing game, the better. I don't think that necessarily has to be an uptick in snap counts for that to happen. I think you have to have a good balance there, like you said. But every game is going to be different. Every game plan is going to be different.
Bills at Carolina this Sunday, 1 p.m. As Sal's mentioned, it's a lot more 1 p.m. and 4:25 games the rest of the way. Sal, the big note and something we've all been looking forward to, or at least had, you know, marked down on our calendars for this game, was the suspended guys are coming back. Larry Ogunjobi, Michael Hoyt. I know we've talked a lot about Hoyt. Mitch Morris, I heard yesterday on One Bills Live, gave a lot of praise to Larry Ogunjobi. But how much do you think it's going to mean for this defense to get those two back, especially – well, no, I would not say the defense was great against Atlanta. They were much improved and wounded in that second half against the Falcons.
I think it's going to help tremendously to get these guys back. They are guys the Bills targeted in free agency for a specific reason. It wasn't like they just signed them to the back end of the roster. I mean, the Bills really only brought in, free agent-wise, one defensive tackle, and that was Larry Ogunjobi. They drafted a couple, and then they only really signed one defensive out, two, I should say, Joey Bosa, but Michael Hoyt, a guy that they think they can move around. He's not just a pure defensive end. He's a guy that can move around, play on the ball, play off the ball, play inside, play outside. Because he was suspended, Javon Solomon kind of took a little bit of that role, right, where he was kicking inside sometimes. And what I think is going to happen here is this is a player, Michael Hoyt, that can get on the field right away that can allow them to have more options. This is about options for the Buffalo Bills when it comes to Hoyt. Hoyt can play different spots on the field. They can have matchups and say, okay, on third and long, we're going to use him as a pass rusher. On a second down and five, he's going to play off the ball and be used more of a, you know, run player, maybe a Sam linebacker. Maybe we don't have to play as much Nick. Now, look, the Bills aren't playing as much nickel as they normally do, playing more three linebacker sets, but he can become more of your third linebacker now. He can play that role if you want. If you remember when Lorenzo Alexander, you know, came to the Bills and they just really moved him across the board and he had that tremendous year, I think that's the kind of the vision. But Lorenzo told me when I talked to him about Michael Hoyt being signed, he said it took the Bills a year to kind of figure that out with him. Whereas in here, it looks like they have a plan for him. They know what they want to do with Michael Hoyt. So I think he's going to help tremendously from that aspect. Now, the production's still got to be there. We don't know. As far as Ogunjobi's concerned, it's just unfortunate Daquan Jones got hurt because we don't know his status. We'll hear from Sean McDermott here just before noon, guys. If Daquan Jones is out any length of time and he's going to miss this game, obviously, that really helps to have a guy that you could just bring in and fill in. It's a veteran, Larry Ogunjobi, but he hasn't played in a while. If Daquan Jones is healthy, it's another guy you add to the rotation with, you know, Ed Oliver and with Deion Walker. Now, suddenly, that defensive line looks a little, maybe a lot better than what you had over the last six, this first six games.
Right, absolutely. I do want to say this on Hoyt, because I've seen some people on social media kind of want to push back on what Hoyt can be. And again, we have no idea. But I really liked what I've seen from his PFF grades. He seems to be an incredible run defender, which is absolutely something the Bills need. But it's more the starts, right? He didn't start a ton with the Rams, albeit minus one season and 23 start every game. He does have a high snap share, though, the last two seasons. 85% of the snaps in 23. And then even in the season where he only started five games in 24, he was still on the field 57% of their snaps. So, I mean, I think, Sal, at that points to, he may not be a starter, but they're going to use him a ton in a bunch of different ways. And I think that's maybe where I am most excited. You bring up the Lorenzo Alexander mold. And yeah, like now that you've already kind of been there and done that, you now know what to do. And I think it also points to as well how the Bills feel about him. Yes, they do sign Larry Ogunjobi, but I believe Brandon Bean mentioned that if they had known about the suspension, they maybe wouldn't have signed him. The same is not true for Hoyt. They signed him to a longer deal and seem to have a plan for him right away. And He played very well in the preseason. He was a huge bright spot.
I really liked what I saw in the preseason in camp of Hoyt. And you're right, he did say that about Ogunjobi, but they found out late in the process after they had agreed to a deal before they signed him, but there was really no other option, so they signed him anyway. When it came to Hoyt, they knew about it. They knew about the suspension. They still signed him and said, we have a plan for him, and we're going to use him here in Buffalo. And what was interesting is when we heard from Brandon Bean, I think it was Bean who said this, might have been McDermott, I think it was Bean who said this after he had signed, they said, that's a guy they had looked at for a couple of years, actually, that they really liked him. So that's kind of like when you're thinking about the vision of how you want to build your roster, the type of player you want, that's the kind of player that they felt for a couple of years that could fill in. Now, look, I think that when you say pushback on social media, that's probably because, yeah, no one here, and I don't think you guys, and I'm not saying like, oh my God, Michael Hoyt, player of the year, he's coming in, this is the savior, and he's Micah Parsons. That's not the case. So if anybody thinks he's just going to come in and suddenly have be a double-digit sack guy the rest of the year, and oh my God, defensive player of the year, that's not what anybody's saying. What I'm saying, though, is I do think that he helps this defense be more of what it wants to be. It's going to be more multiple. It's going to give more options. But they still have to go out there, and they still have to produce, and they have to have the right plan for him.
Sal, as we are all moving on at our own pace to it's Carolina week, of course, they do get back to practice. What about the Panthers? This is a team that has won a couple games now in a row. They are a team that I do seem to think is punching above their weight class a little bit, but they're sitting here at a winning record after years of, quite frankly, disastrous seasons. It does look like they're starting to get a little bit on the up and up.
Yeah, for sure. And looks like it's going to be Andy Dalton, actually, against the Bills, not Bryce Young, although it's not confirmed by the Panthers. You know, the initial report from Adam Schefter was that it would be Andy Dalton this week and a couple others. But the Panthers kind of kept that close to the vest. We'll see. Look, I think the Bills, to me, Andy Dalton's a tougher challenge than Bryce Young. And I say that with all due respect to Bryce Young and what he's starting to do, because he's a young quarterback who's coming around. He's looked a lot better. But this is a guy still that's very young. He's inexperienced. Andy Dalton's seen everything. He's seen this Bills defense. He's seen anything that you want to throw to him. He's been in this league a long time. And when he can sit in the pocket and he can throw to some really talented receivers, albeit a young receiving group, he can throw to them and, you know, he can find some soft spots like Michael Penix did. You know, Michael Penix, a young quarterback who sat in the pocket. He was able to find Drake London and bam, 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 they were able to move the ball. And, oh, by the way, how about Rico Dowdle, right? Rico Dowdle is a really fantastic running back. They have a really nice 1-2 punch right there. So it's going to be, with Hubbard, it's going to be a very big challenge for the Bills to stop them from that side of the ball and not have – now, you know what Andy Dalton is, but you don't have a lot of film on him except for last year he did play some games with the Panthers offense. So it's a bit of a change here. Now, the one thing is he's not as mobile as Bryce Young, and mobile quarterbacks have hurt the Bills. But Andy can move around the pocket a little bit, and he'll try to manipulate that a little bit. I think on the other side, though, this is all about, to me, the Bills need to score points on the offensive side. It's been a few weeks now here where they have not been able to move the ball down the field and score points. New England and Atlanta, after scoring over 30, 31 points a game, basically, the first four games, the last two haven't gone that way. The Bills need to get back to that. They need to get back to scoring, keeping their foot on the gas, going down the field, scoring points on offense. And then even if your defense has a couple of slip-ups, then you're still covered up because the offense is scoring points on the other end.
Sal, when you look at the offense, is this one of just those, I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about, the lull that the Bills are in? You know, it's a long season. Teams are going to lose games. I know Shelton Bulldog have mentioned, too, like even if the Bills got the one seed, what, they're going to win or they're going to lose three or four games. Like, this is somewhat expected. But it does have a lot of the same flavor to last season where it's in, you know, the early to middle part of the season. It's two straight games. The offense looks, you know, arguably at times very broken. It's kind of the same this year. You even have different flavors, but it's kind of the same thing. Khalil Shakir goes down last year. The offense against Houston looks abysmal. Dalton Kincaid goes down, before the Atlanta game. The offense looks abysmal. You know, is this just kind of a lull thing, or is there maybe a bigger problem here for the Bills?
Well, I guess we'll see, right? We don't really know the answer to that question. I will say this, going back to your question about the bye come at the right time. I think that what the bye has done as well during this bye week, whatever all teams do is they self-scout, right? Mm-hmm. They go and they say, what have we done right? What have we done wrong? What are teams doing against us? And one thing the Bills are going to notice, and I'm sure they already know this, teams are now coming with five-man loaded fronts, and they're coming right at Josh Allen. They're saying, we are daring you to get it to one of these receivers to beat us quickly off the line, to win on the outside. And that's going to be a challenge for the Bills. But I think one of the things they could do is figure out up front how to stop that, to give more answers to Josh Allen, to give more answers to the running backs, the tight ends, even the receivers. So I think this game is going to be a game where we can look at any clues we have of how the Bills want to combat what teams will do. And the Bills probably sit back and go, okay, the bye week coming at this time allows us to kind of recalibrate how we want to do that. But otherwise, teams are just going to keep doing it. And they're going to do it this week. Mm-hmm. The Panthers are going to do it and say, okay, what answers do you have when we do this to you? Because Atlanta did it and New England did it, and you didn't have a lot of answers in those games, so we're going to do the same thing. It's up to the Bills now to have answers, and they've had 2 weeks now to try and come up with them.
I wonder then, Sal, if it's something where we do see a jump up in James Cook's production in the passing game. One target over the last two games, and especially against Atlanta, where, I mean, they send the hounds after Allen. You would have assumed eventually there's just going to be an outlet pass to Cook. It never really came. There were some wheel routes, and those looked open. Allen maybe should have taken a shot. But with how quickly the line was kind of collapsing against that defensive front from Atlanta, you did maybe expect it. And now I'm really looking for that against Carolina, I think.
Yeah, and Ty Johnson, right? I mean, Ty Johnson is – his production's way down as a receiver. He was so good last year at that particular aspect of his game, and he's on the field a lot on third down. Why? Because he's a good pass blocker, and you can leak him out. So I think the Bills have to kind of adjust that a little bit. I would have loved to see more throws to the running backs. And look, that's on Josh, too. Like, I went back and watched the All-22 after the Atlanta game, and I thought there were plays where Josh probably could have hit an outlet and kind of bailed maybe a little bit too early and got his eyes to the wrong spot and maybe started to say, I need to take off. I need to tuck the ball a little bit here. And, you know, I think all of that has to start meshing together a little bit better. And you have 2 weeks here to take a look at it, and now you go down to Carolina and put it to practice.
And so now, I mean, when we look at the team as a whole, too, I mean, now going back to the injury, Sal, like this is going to be a big thing as well. Palmer, they finally got him going down the field as well. I think you mentioned it even on the broadcast as well, that they maybe had a big game plan for Palmer. You saw it early with the deep ball. He is somebody I think a lot of Bills fans were somewhat leery about. You love the separation statistics, although that's kind of become a little bit muddied going into this season. You kind of love the idea of Bean really banged the drum for Palmer. He's also somebody I'm looking to for the rest of the season. I hope it's against Carolina on Sunday, but I think he's going to have to be somebody that maybe becomes that man beater. Because so far with Keon Coleman, that has not developed.
Agreed. And, you know, it's not as much Keon Coleman's game to get down the field. We know that. You'd like to see a little bit more of that. They can manufacture some ways to do that. But it is Josh Palmer's game a little bit more. Beating guys, not necessarily 50 yards downfield, but more in the intermediate range, and then they go with that big pass play down the middle on the first play of the game against Atlanta, and then they have another pass, and then that's the one that he gets, you know, his ankle rolls up underneath him. He had two catches for 60 yards in the first half. I mean, he's on the way to a big game. He's on the way to a game where they were going to target him. They were going to use him as a bigger play guy, and that obviously didn't materialize. So you'd love to see him back in the fold here. So we'll see how they counteract that, and yes, that is another player we'll be hearing from Sean McDermott at 11:55. They'll give us the injury update, and then we'll watch practice today. I'm guessing probably Fieldhouse with the rain coming on here, but the team will be practicing. And then, of course, guys, the big storyline today is Max Harrison is going to be on the practice field as well. The Bills have opened his 21-day practice window, which means they have 21 days to put him on the active roster, or he stays on injury reserve the rest of the year. They can do it any time. I mean, they feel that he's ready. I think it would be a little ambitious to think this way, but you never know. If they feel that he could play this week, they could activate him, and he could play Sunday at Carolina, or it could be next week against Kansas City, or the following week against Miami. That would really be the only three games before they finally ultimately say, okay, that's it. He needs to come on the be put on the active roster. That's the window right there, and you know we'll see where that goes. They do have one open roster spot, though, on the 53-man roster. I wonder if that's for Jordan Poyer, if they would do that, because the other guy that I'm thinking about here is Gabe Davis. He is on practice squad injured, and if they ever want to open his window – they're going to have to probably move Poyer off the practice squad because they can only have a certain number of veterans on the practice squad, and that would be too many. So I just wonder how the roster gymnastics work with all this.
I did want to ask you about Max Harrison because I think, for me at least, me and Derek have been talking, and I've kind of coined it, like, you know, the reinforcements are here, the Calvary's arrived, with Hoyt and Ogunjobi, with Harrison a little bit more on the horizon, right? I mean, yes, they did open up the 21-day window. I would be a little surprised, though. I don't know if you would, too, if they were to activate him for this week. It just seems like they have been being very patient with him and taking their time. I heard Matt Beauvais' clip, we heard Matt Beauvais' clip earlier during the show with Harrison talking about, like, you know, he's been able to slow down and take mental reps. So I'd be a little surprised if his window's open and like, all right, get in there.
I would, too. I mean, like, I think it'd be the word I'm using is ambitious. That would be really – the Bills aren't known for that, right? They're not known for putting guys on the field before they're ready. You know, you have to you have to have the player's long-term health in mind as well. If you put Max Harrison on the field before he's ready, something else happens. Now you lose him again for a certain number of weeks or whatever. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how much he does today. And, of course, I'll have video for everybody over at Sal Sports on X, and they can check that out in WGR550.com. And we'll hear from Harrison today, I'm guessing, after practice. But we'll see Harrison. We'll see Hoyt. We'll see Ogunjobi. It's kind of like a new regular season, basically, here, yeah, to hear from these guys and see him for the first time.
Sal, when it comes to, like, obviously the Bills had their bye week and everything like that, but of course the division didn't stop. New England continues to take in wins. I mean, Drake May looked really good against Tennessee, and I'll take that for what it will be, because I'm still a hater of the Titans for no good reason. But it does look like their schedule stiffens up a little bit here with the Browns defense, Falcons, Buccaneers in consecutive weeks there. But then there's Miami and the Jets. I don't know why Miami has not gotten rid of McDaniel at this point. They just need to find a way to start over, and it's just looking worse and worse by the week. And yet they're not even close to the worst team in the division, because the Jets can't score points.
Yeah, New England? Yeah, New England.
Yeah, New England's got a tougher test coming up these next 3 weeks, though.
Yeah, so New England playing Cleveland, obviously. I want to see what they can do against the Browns defense, because Browns defense has been very, very good this year. And look what they did against the Miami Dolphins. Look, the division is pretty bad outside of Buffalo and New England. We know that, as you just pointed out. I mean, one win between the Dolphins and the Jets. You know, we'll see. It looks like a quarterback change coming in New York. Is there a coach change coming in Miami? Maybe at some point. Maybe it's before they play the Bills coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But, look, until New England stubs their toe, I'm not going to believe they're going to stub their toe, because they've just played good enough football on both sides of the ball, really good football. The quarterback's looking really good to not believe that's going to happen. So we'll see. They got a couple of tough tests coming up here, and then, you know, we'll see. There's a long season. And the Bills still play New England, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
one more with them.
They'll still get a shot at the New England Patriots later in the year.
Sal, did you see Woody Johnson's comments about Justin Fields and Aaron Glenn yesterday at the fall owners meetings?
I kind of did. I know he wasn't very complimentary of the quarterback play, but he was very complimentary of the coach, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. Do you remember the Athletic story from last year talking about how Woody Johnson's, I think, son or grandson is like helping him with Madden?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, when he said rating, it's not zero. I don't know how high the percentage is that he is talking about Justin Fields' Madden rating.
That is amazing.
I feel like there is a shot there. He could be talking about passer rating or QB rating, and that probably is more justifiable. But I heard that and went, he's talking about his Madden rating, guys. And it is in the 70s. So maybe there is something to it. It's just,
that's funny.
Sal, I really thought Aaron Glenn and even the Jets weren't that far off. They have looked stunningly bad and at many times completely unprepared for NFL games.
Yeah, and it looks like Tyrod Taylor going in there. But the Jets are going to have a high pick this year, and they're going to have their choice of some quarterbacks coming out. I know you said yesterday when I was listening to you show up in the Bulldogs, Zach, not a great QB class, but wasn't that thought to be a really good QB class recently? And now all of a sudden it's not? I don't know what it
is. That's the thing, is all the hyped up names, Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller, Arch Manning if you want them, all of them failed. Lenore Sellers, all of them have somewhat failed. There's been different guys that have come up. Ty Simpson from Alabama, and then kind of the guy I really like, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I don't know. I don't know. You know, the buzz that he's getting necessarily right now. We'll see. But I agree with you. I like him a lot. Playing for a real winning program, and a lot of it's based on a lot of what he's doing offensively as well. Here's your job for me, though, Zach. Right? I have a task for you. Okay. I need you to find the next Syracuse transfer. Where are they going to?
Oh, there we go.
That's what they do now, right?
They go to the portal for the quarterback.
Right, so you got to find me the guy that they're going to target and say, that's the guy that's not going to play next year, but he's going to go, he's going to get an opportunity, and Syracuse will give him some NIL money, and that's just like Angeli this year, like Kyle McCord, even Ricky Collins, who's really not the answer, but what they did with him. So that's your task. I need to know who that's going to be.
Look, Syracuse is going to have some options. They're going to have nice receivers coming in. I mean, freshmen, but we've seen how freshman receivers have been doing. And let's not – I think Angeli still has one more year of eligibility.
I think so, too. I was thinking about that. I think so. I just don't know what he'll be coming off the Achilles.
Right.
But yes, that's right.
Could be fun, though. Sal, you want this, and then at 2 in the morning I'm sending you highlights of, like, a UConn quarterback. So
I'm going to hate saying this, but
be prepared.
Ryan Brown's looked pretty decent for Purdue.
Yeah. Could be going to the Big Ten maybe for somebody. We'll see.
Hey, you never know. They'll get their quarterback from the portal somehow. But, again, it could be Angeli again, but it'll be somebody who can't get on the field for his school, like McCord, like Angeli, and then he'll go to Syracuse. But that's your job. That's your task from now till the end of college football season. You got to identify me that guy.
I got you, buddy. All right, Sal, enjoy practice. We'll talk again tomorrow, man.
All right, guys, thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. I'm telling you, he wants this now. And then on a random Thursday, or better yet, Tuesday, when there's like a MAC quarterback blowing up, he'll be like, Sal, baby, look at him. That's your guy right there. You got to get hold of Fran Brown. That's your guy. He's not going to enjoy that. He's not going to do that.
Right.
Or it could be Trey Owens from Texas. Texas backup. You got Dia Bell coming in next year. This is going to be no room. Could be Trey Owens.
Maybe. Yeah. It could be one of those things. Finding that transfer quarterback, though, is going to be fun. Like, I look forward to you actually sending him these highlights because I know you.
You're going to have to compete with Indiana. They are genuinely doing that. And Kirk Cignitti is incredible at his job. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll switch over to hockey as Paul Hamilton's going to join the show next. But before we go to our next timeout,
don't forget that this month, October, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It only takes 30 minutes once a year to get potentially life-saving screening. Schedule a mammogram today at Roswell Park with two convenient locations in Buffalo and Williamsville. Visit roswellpark.org/mammography for a quick appointment. When we come back, we'll get back to the ice. Paul Hamilton joining us here on the other side in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Shots are 16-8 Montreal. It's just 1-0. Benson for Cooley to the net with the backhand. Yes. Scores! Yuri Cooley goes to the net, and the Sabres have tied the game here in the second period at 1-1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Yuri Kulik centering a line of Benson and Thompson, it appears, today in practice, although that's been...
That's kind of where they've been at the last couple games.
Sabres are at home tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. It is a stupid 7:30 start. 6:30 pregame.
What's so wrong with that?
That half hour radically changes how everything operates behind the scenes, and I hate it immensely. People will never understand the joy I felt when the schedule changed and they're like, Friday, 7 o'clock start. Boom. Beautiful.
Stupid 7:30. I don't know how that broke me, but you got me.
We'll hear from Paul Hamilton here in just a few minutes. Lindy Ruff still speaking with the media. The big news for tonight, it appears Colton Ellis is going to get his first NHL start as Sabres take on one of the best teams in the Atlantic to start this year. 5-2, the Yzer plan seems to finally be working for the Red Wings. Good for them. It's taken forever. It's them in Montreal that have looked like genuine threats in the Atlantic so far to start this year. And, of course, I do include the Sabres, who, yeah, had some really nice games. But it's been another slow start. Not the worst thing in the world, but it's been another slow start. And they're still waiting for some guys to get healthy as well, including Jordan Greenway and Michael Kesselring. But there is some bright spots to this Sabres team. I will say I'm excited for Colton Ellis. I'm very nervous. Alex Lyon has been exceptional for them, and I know he needs rest. I'm just a little nervous for a guy to get his first NHL start. When we talked about it yesterday, they can't afford to go on these lengthy losing streaks.
They cannot get back to losing 3 or 4 again. You are right about that. However, I'm more confident in this team right now because of the fact of that they are playing well. There is a context here. If you play like you do against Montreal, who is second in the Atlantic, 5-2 on the year.
Mm-hmm.
You play like that, though, you're going to win games, even
right.
against a good team.
Right.
Even against teams that are successful. By the way, you win tonight, you suddenly vault yourself into fifth place in the Atlantic.
Yeah, it's all clustered together.
And then also, the team that's right ahead of you, you have a back-to-back against in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So there's suddenly a chance for them to move up the standings very quickly this week simply based on who they are playing. Just keep playing the way you have. I'm not mad about that loss in Montreal, nor should anyone be. I feel very good about it because of the fact that the context does matter. This team has looked better since Zach Benson's been back in the lineup. Alex Lyon has been fantastic for them. And again, Colton Ellis getting the start here, it might simply be, thanks for being a good soldier, let's get you some games. Because we might be having a 3-goalie rotation here.
Yeah.
Or we might be putting you on waivers. I don't know which one's worse. It's probably the 3 goalies.
It's 100% the 3 goalies.
For all three of them. But in particular for Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's the thing. He's not your guy kind of deal.
No.
He's brought in because of the UPL injury. Levi's your AHL guy that you're trying to marinate.
He's brought in because Georgiev was awful.
Yeah. Let's go now to, though, the Western Hotline. Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey,
doing very well.
What's
doing
up,
very
Paul?
Well. So
good.
We're
watching the Detroit Red Wings here in front
nice.
Of us.
So we've got some big lineup changes for tonight. Colton Ellis appears to be in the starter's net, and then Noah Ausland in the lineup as well.
Yeah, we knew that Ellis was going to get a start. I mean, Lindy Ruff said so when they got him, and he was when they claimed him, they just felt, you know, it was an opportunity they couldn't pass up on. I guess he's been on their radar for a bit. You know, he's been around for a little bit. But, you know, first he was in the East Coast League. Then the AHL, his numbers almost mirrored Levi's numbers in the AHL last year. They were very, very similar. And, you know, the Blues just have two good goalies. They didn't have room for him, and they wanted him to be their third goalie, but the Sabres felt it was an opportunity they couldn't pass up on. Lindy Ruff said when he got here that he was going to get in. You know, he was going to get his first NHL game. I didn't know if it would last this long, but... this is a good slot for it, and so he's going to get the opportunity to play just like Zach Metsa did. He got his first NHL game against Montreal. Now it's going to be Colton Ellis' turn in this game against the Red Wings.
And it's not an NHL debut, but it's also Noah Ausland's turn up in the forward core. Paul Ausland in and Gjertsen out of the lineup. I don't think we need to go into the Gjertsen conversation, Paul. I think we both share those feelings. Mm. But Ausland with Zucker and Quinn, I am excited to see what happens here for Noah Ausland, who has been trying to really find that sticking point of when he will end up in the Sabres lineup as a mainstay.
As we were watching the Sabres come out for the morning skate, I mentioned it to one of the media people sitting next to me. I said, you know what? If it were me today, I would have Ausland centering Zucker and Quinn. I just think Peyton Krebs has struggled this year a lot. Where he didn't last year, sure enough, Lindy Ruff did the same thing. That's where he put Noah Ausland, and then Peyton Krebs is going to be on left wing with Kozak and Malenstein, who is back after having a child. So he'll be on the wing there. So you will not see Gjertsen in the lineup. As you said, we have talked about that ad nauseum, and that's, you know, but Yeah, so I think that's a good spot for Ostlund. And, you know, as a young player last year when he came up, he's quite capable of offense and showed that in the American Hockey League. He's a very good two-way player. But he wanted to concentrate, I think, more on his defense. You know, and you'll hear him on the pregame show. And he said he's quite confident he can pick up points in the National Hockey League. But, you know, that's what it was about. And he's more comfortable this year because he did play those games last year. He said Rasmus Dahlin being here makes him comfortable, too, from Sweden. You know, he's got somebody who, you know, he can speak Swedish with. I mean, Oslin's English is fine, but, you know, it'll get better as he goes on. And he's got a guy on the team that he can speak Swedish with and hang with a little bit. So that helps him, too. So it wouldn't shock me if you saw him get on the score sheet in this game. He's a very good two-way player. And somebody that I think is going to be a National Hockey League player for years to come once he gets to the NHL for good.
Paul, when it comes to Jiří Kulík, I mean, it was a couple games ago that Lindy Ruff had effectively called him out, you know, demanding better out of Kulík, and he's responded accordingly with Benson and Thompson as the line mates there. He has been putting up a little bit more on the point production over the last couple games. He has a really nice goal in Montreal, a game that really, as a neutral NHL fan, you probably were excited to watch that if you just liked hockey.
Yeah, I mean, that was an even game. That's a 50-50 game that, quite honestly, the Sabres have to find a way to get points in. You know, when you play even with a team, you know, Montreal had their moments in the game. Buffalo had its moments in the game. And the shots, I think, were one away from each other. I think 32-31, if I'm going by memory here. So there were plenty of chances. Both goaltenders played very well, although Alex Lyon finally had that whoopsie moment where, you know, a goal went in. Third goal, I'm sure, is when he'd want back. And I asked Brian Koziol when we were on, I said, I can't remember another one. I think it's the first one all year that you would have said to yourself, you know, he'd like that one back. But overall, he did make some great saves in the game. I think Dobish probably made better saves as the Sabres were really pressing to get that tying goal. Couldn't get anything by him, had great opportunities. I mean, I looked in the middle of the second period. Tage Thompson had 8 shot attempts by the middle of the second period. He just couldn't solve Dobish. Kind of like last year. Remember, he had a little trouble scoring goals for a bit. Then all of a sudden, a couple went in, and he was on his way. He's been getting assists. You know, he does have a goal and 3 assists for 4 points in 6 games. But, you know, a -6, although when the empty net goals go in, he's on the ice and he's going to get a minus. That's something they got to kind of brush up on a little bit. They give up empty net goals almost every time they pull their goaltender. So that's too many. I know that's going to happen at times, but it doesn't have to happen. And at least against Montreal, they pulled the goaltender, did get some scoring opportunities, and did get some pressure before the empty net goal happened. But that's something they got to work on.
Yeah, Paul, I loved the Montreal game. It was fun. It was exciting. The Sabres did not shell away when they went down 3-1. They kept fighting. Obviously, you get the Kulík goal, and there's a fight there. I just, the last, I want to say maybe 3 minutes or so, I was wondering where Josh Doan was. He's been a weapon for them in front of the net. It felt like, to end the game, it was kind of just slap shots from close to the blue line and hoping and praying one of them went in. And we talk about this, it seems like yearly, Paul, where they've got to figure out a way, as you've coined it, you know, loser points. Yeah, you lose, but it's in overtime, so you grab one. You don't go on these stretches where you're just not getting anything, and me and Derek talked about it yesterday. That was really their first opportunity of the season to have that done. They did not play well in the first 3 games, but I think overall it's been a solid start to the year. Not great, but a solid start to the year for this team.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about it, right, when they pull the goaltender, you're going to have Thompson talk. You got a dog out there in Benson. I mean, and you would have a dog out there with Doan. You're going to have Zucker, Dahlin, and I'm missing one. McLeod has to be out there for faceoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Doan would be the guy for McLeod, but you can't lose the draw.
No.
And everybody else is going
right.
to lose the draw. He won a couple, you know, give them possession. So that's why he's out there in place of Dome, because you just have to have somebody out there that's going to win you the draw. You can't keep losing the draw and not get yourself set up when you got the goaltender pulled.
No, and that's where, you know, not having Norris now for a number of weeks is going to hurt you. I mean, that's been a huge positive for him is the faceoff percentage. You're not going to have him for a long time here. Paul, though, before we let you go, the big news actually to start the day was what many people were ruminating about last night during Toronto's game, and it is ultimately true. Start times have been changed due to the World Series being in Toronto. Friday moved from 7:30 to 7, and then Saturday, the big change from 7 now to 5 p.m. in Toronto.
Earlier the better. I'm great with a 5 o'clock start. You know, it gets you home from Toronto earlier and everything. And Derek?
Yep.
Now we can go to game two.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There we go.
Hit Ticketmaster. Get us a couple of tickets.
There we go.
I'll let you treat. I'll buy you dinner at McDonald's, and then you treat for the game. Right. Last I looked, it's around 1,800 to sit up in the last row.
All right. I'm looking in my wallet right now, Paul. I've got $32.
So get it done. We can go now. We can get the game, too. Get it done. Get those tickets. Again, there's dinner in it for you.
We've got to make, like, maybe we need Pat to help us out here. Like, I'll travel in, like, one of the equipment crates.
throw up the bad signal. Paul, I got to tell you.
You don't want to pay $1,800?
I don't know if I even have it. Right? Brother, we work in radio.
You're going to have to talk to some sketchy people to get a loan or something like that.
But if Paul, you get that done, I'll talk to you on the air anytime you want.
I used to work at banks.
I'll be nice to you even.
That's good. Hey, you know what?
That's big.
Yeah, I'm going to go talk to some former coworkers at some banks now.
Paul, I got to tell you, though, I'm just thrilled. We don't have another 7:30 start time after tonight for a little while. I can't tell you how much I hate seeing those on the schedule.
Yeah, and folks, so they realize this is a TNT game.
Yes.
So it's radio only if you want to hear Rob and Dan. So, yeah, radio only game. I didn't even realize until I got here that it's a TNT game. So that's, of course, why the 7:30 start.
Mm-hmm.
I saw actually the Prime. I know Prime is doing hockey now too, and the Montreal game was a Prime game. So I got to meet some. Well, actually, I knew some of them, Andy Petrillo and others that are going to be involved in the Prime broadcasts for the NHL, and that was on Prime, the Montreal game.
All right, perfect. Paul, rest up. We'll talk to you at pregame at 6:30. Have a great day.
Okay, take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton. Thanks, Paul. There on the Wester Hotline.
He said he was going to treat me nicely.
I mean, just, you know, $1,800.
Yeah, you know.
It's not that much.
You know,
it's not that
there much. Is a price for happiness.
There is a price for happiness. I will tell you, though, I love being in that ballpark. I've been there two of the last 3 years to see the Angels play the Blue yep. Jays. It's a blast every single time. I just can't justify it. I'll watch it on TV, and I'll feel just as happy.
Like I said, I'll talk to someone about getting a loan today.
There we go. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to WGR.
You know, they found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mayer not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that that change would have happened long after our game.
Broncos head coach Sean Payton. You can hear the little pause there before he's like,
do I want to do it?
Do I want to do it? Tyler Dunn tweeted this out yesterday. You can hear the little pause before he's like, I want all-out war. And, you know, look, he takes shots at Russell Wilson. A lot of people have been taking shots at Russell Wilson for years, including former teammates in Seattle.
What does he do that makes him that hated? Like, is he just that?
I think he's disingenuous.
Yeah.
I think people can see through it.
Okay. That's a good way to go
about
it. I
would imagine that's a big part of it. I know the Legion of Boom, the big thing for him was just he seemed to get off scot-free from Pete Carroll, and the defense wasn't. And they're like, wait a second. And they did not love that. That was only one of two instances where quarterbacks were catching strays yesterday.
And while we have a minute, before we jump to the other one, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills, as I intercepted Zach just now. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity like Justin Fields, the guy that we're going to talk about next. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
I want to make a joke about his interceptions, but I don't even think they're that high.
He hasn't had any.
I know. I had to look. I'm like, wait, I don't actually think he's done like that.
That's
part
why
badly.
I brought him up when I said fumble.
But yeah, it's.
I know what I'm doing.
It's, man. So Woody Johnson, we mentioned it with Sal, goes out to the fall owners meetings and is talking about ratings and basically throwing Justin Fields under the bus to defend Aaron Glenn. I guess it's one way to do it. Glenn, I imagine they see a much bigger future for. The problem was, you just gave the guy a two-year, $40 million contract, Justin Fields I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have some belief in him. And to be fair, you did have week one. So
Week one will live on forever for Fields stands, whatever is left of them.
Exactly. And I'm not saying you don't bench him. I'm not. But man, like everything around the Jets, just it does not seem good. I know Shelton Bulldog just had a bet that the Jets won't make the playoffs by 2030. Like, they're in that bad of circumstances. And I don't disagree. I will say, though, I love Fernando Mendoza. And on that, and this is something I've really changed my tune on with quarterbacks, got a lot of starts and not in particularly great places until this year. He started at Cal for 2 years, or had starts at Cal for 2 years. Now he's in Indiana. He's flourishing. He also kind of is the exact personality you want your quarterback to be. Not saying I'll be freaking out if the Jets land him, but I think he could be somebody that could maybe figure it out for them. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 12. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.